What will it take to get the New York Rangers from a team with high expectations to going deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Brian Boyle, the NHL Network, stops by to talk us through it and also tell us some John Tortorella stories. You can't go wrong there. It's the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
What are you going to do? You!
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
You guys are sensitive over there.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
Nothing perks up the ears quite like the New York Rangers being in the mix. You know, I was around back when they broke the long drought in 1994, and you thought, oh, they're off and they're running. Now they're back in another drought, and everybody's waiting for this group to take that big leap into a deep playoff run. Brian Boyles, working for the NHL Network, longtime National Hockey Leaguer. He's seen it all. He's also doing a podcast, Up in the Blue Seats, with Molly Walker, and they're leaning on Larry Brooks, New York Post podcast, and they're having a lot of fun with that. We're going to dive into pushing the New York Rangers ahead. New head coach, one that Brian Boyles played for, so he knows Peter Laviolette, the ins and outs, and how Peter Laviolette gets players to excel through the course of X's and O's or just plain old motivation. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And I mentioned Larry Brooks. How do you bring up Larry Brooks? I love Larry. Done some fun stuff with Larry. But whenever you talk about Larry, somehow John Tortorella just fits. And it wasn't part of our plan with this. It did happen organically. We actually got to Torts first and then Larry. And it all comes together, and that will make you laugh a little bit at just the pure childishness, childhood-like environment of the National Hockey League player. Like, as much as they're elite athletes, when they see something like Brooks and Tortorella happening, everybody turns into an 8-year-old kid. It's a lot of fun. And there's this Kuznetsov play that I'm going to ask Brian Boyle about. He's going in so slow. Like, a dog can be peeing on the wheel. That's how slow it is. That's how slow the car is going. Imagine that. It's crazy. And I don't think it should be legal. But Boyle, we'll talk about it. And he's got his opinions. Looking forward to this. Great job with the NHL Network. And he's got a story about his life that is just wildly fun and exciting, but crazy. It's Brian Boyle on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard. Let's check in your backyard to start with. What's your assessment of the Rangers going into the season?
Listen, I wasn't sure after how everything kind of unfolded last year. There's a lot of uncertainty with, there's a new coach, there's sort of, you know, the same core. And I was wondering how they were going to be affected by it. You know, it's something to be said about those guys probably looking at each other saying, you know what, we can't change the coach again. It's on us. And I saw a few of them, went down for an event prior to the season. I played for Lavi. I thought that was a really good hire. Columbus game was what it was, but I think their first week showed really positive signs. And obviously they got the goalie. He's all world.
That's 200-point seasons, and then they make big changes with the organization. Where did they get better?
Well, I think part of the change with the coach is where they're hopeful. I honestly thought that series with New Jersey was going to end in 4 or maybe 5 games, and a credit to the Devils, they flipped it. They flipped it on its head and outplayed them for the, you know, for really the next 5 games. New York got another, you know, they got another win out of it. But even going back 2 years when I got to play against them in the playoffs, I thought we controlled most of the play in the first round, and that's not sour grapes. They beat us. And then I think they got better as it went along. That's just kind of, they got better and better, and you expected them to take that step, and they went, you know, they took a step in the wrong direction. So I think if they can make sort of adjustments, they have a little bit. Short answer, I guess, is if, you know, Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere can really take a step, and Keandre Miller, if he takes another step, like, that's a much better team. You're getting what you're getting from Panera, and he's elite. I think Zibanejad's elite. Chris Kreider, people expect him to fall off a cliff or not produce. I think he's 35 goals is, you know, the floor for him. So they have all the – and you got Adam Fox. Lindgren's just laying it on the line every day. And you got the goaltending. They need those younger guys who are making shorter money to really give them a big boost and see kind of what you have. They have some depth, I think. I like Trocheck so far. I think he's playing really fast. He has a unique stride, so he's deceptive. He's a really gritty player. I really think they have lots of depth. They have the makings of a championship team.
I think they deserve to be in the same category as a Toronto, as an Edmonton, where the pressure is big time to make this thing happen this year.
On a lot of them, right? I mean, that core group, you can say what you want and have to get it done when it matters most. We know what they can do and what they're capable of in the regular season. They've revamped some things, obviously, with a new coach, that'll happen. But it's time to go far. It's time to play late into May and into June. And that's kind of where their aspirations are.
What's that like as a player, Brian, to have that hovering over you all year?
Well, yeah, so I talked about it yesterday a little bit, but you just, on the good teams that you expected, you just, there was maybe a quiet understanding, or maybe it was spoken out loud, but you expected to go far. Every day was a day to get better. You know, you didn't look at it as it's October and we got to wait till April to really get this thing going. You try to work on things. You try to improve your team game, your chemistry. You know, lines get moved around during the season. You play with different guys. The penalty kill needs work today. The power play tomorrow. Every day is a different challenge. You look at your week. You know, we got these teams this week. And you kind of compartmentalize it that way. I think that's the best way to go about it. They have all the guys there. Everybody wants to get on the board. Everybody wants to contribute. And all year long, you have to continue to develop that game. You look around the league, what's working for other teams? What are we going to expect when this thing turns on? You assess yourself. What do we need? What do I need to do to be ready each night and then into the playoffs? They know what it's like. They've been through it.
I've never heard it quite phrased like a procrastinator, where you're just waiting around for April for it to happen. I've heard of like the playoffs matter more than the regular season, but not that the way you just phrased it.
It's just a constant, you know, Matt Carl, when we played in Tampa, used to call it, you know, it was 82 dress rehearsals and then we get to the real thing and you want to make them perfect. What can you get better on each game? You look at it and you're honest and you could win 50 games and you still have to have some of those meetings where they're hard, they're tough. We're not good enough tonight. You can win ugly. Okay. Well, on the good teams I played on, we'd win ugly and it wouldn't be like, oh, well, we got it done. So, you know, no meeting where we're going to get ripped apart. It's no, we're sitting down, we're pausing the tape. You're going to be embarrassed because you screwed up right here and we're going to get better. We're not going to do it again. And that everybody, I mean, no one was exempt. Those were the great teams we were on. It was, and everyone held themselves accountable and each other. And I think they have good leadership to do that.
So where will Laviolette make his biggest mark on the team? You play for him.
Yeah, for right now, he is such an incredible motivator. He brings a real family atmosphere to the rink. You know, we're all in this together. Everybody matters. He speaks with everybody. He's a great communicator that way and a motivator. Like I got traded to Nashville and he talked to me after a morning skate and I had to stop him because I was getting way too excited and I needed to take a nap. Like I just flew in the night before. I'm like, you gotta give me a break here. Like this is too much. I gotta go sleep. Give me this at 5:30 before, you know, we're going to play Montreal or whatever it was. And it was incredible how he could do that to me. I was like 33 or 34 at the time. And I felt like a little kid playing my first game of the year. He has the ability to do that. He commands the room really well. He'll make adjustments. They brought in Dan Muse too, who lives at the rink and will try to find any edge to get, I think he usually works with the penalty kill, but to find a way to help his whatever side of the game he's coaching, he's going to put you in the best spot. He'll cut video. He'll watch with you every day. I mean, so his staff is great. He's going to have the ability to bring in anybody he needs to help too, but he mixes it up too. It never gets stale. He has stories for days. He really does have a unique way of keeping everybody engaged and motivated.
What's Laviolette like with kids, with the younger guys?
You know, he's patient with pretty much everybody, and he just demands the same from even his best guys, which I respect. So he can go and tell those young guys without them, you know, without breaking them, I guess is it. But if he's demanding all that from his top guns, you know, you gotta kind of have some, you know, self-starter in you where it's like, well, he's giving it to Yost right now, Roman Yossi or Ryan Johansson. I better kick it into gear here, because you know, if he's going to give it to those guys, I'm not at their level yet. I can't really speak to how he, each individual young guy, but I watched him around the room, and big word that I would say is the respect factor. He does respect the players while demanding a lot.
You talked about video. Take the average person, and how many times would the average person cry during a video session if they were called out?
Average person? Who's the coach, Lavi?
Yeah.
Lavi, it wouldn't be too bad.
No. You know,
we're talking torts? Different.
What's that like?
With torts?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Different. But hey, again, it was to everyone. You know, you just kind of want to get small, and you can't. You know, you can't hide. No one can hide. And even sometimes you just feel like he hadn't yelled at you in a while, so he'd make something up. What are you doing here? And he'd be like, what? I had a goal last time. What are you talking about? And he'd just give it to you. You know, it's not – everybody has their own way of keeping people honest.
Give me your best torts impression calling out Brian Boyle during a video session. I don't mean to cause PTSD here.
Well, there's different ways he did it. He'd either, like, sarcastic and be like, here you are again. No one knows what you're doing. You can't tell me what you're doing, so go to the next clip. Or it'd be like, so there's one clip. I mean, it's on 24/7. We did like a whole day of Toronto had a pull-up play with Kessel when he played for the Leafs. It was like when the forward enters the zone, pulls up, the D regap and play him. And the forward's back checking. Don't go right at the puck carrier because they're looking for late guys coming through the slot, and he's going to hit him. He's a good player. He's going to hit him. So we'll give him that time as long as we got, you know, the house, the middle of the rink covered. And it's like the first period, 24/7. The HBO crew is like all in the dressing room, and I'm mic'd up for the game. And Kessel goes down, pulls up. This is what I was checking the top line guys. He pulls up, and I'm like, a little kid just skated straight at him from the back diagonal as our D steps up. He squirts one to the middle, and they have a 2-on-1. I think they hit the bar. Hank bailed me out, but I was like, oh no. So we get in the locker room, and usually he waits till like the 8-minute mark to come in, and he just comes in right away, verbatim, I believe. Brian Boyle, you got that fucking mic on. You can't even think straight. We've gone over this D coverage 100 times in the last 2 days. First time it happens. You screwed it up. I was like, oh, man. And the camera is just right in my face. It's like right as I'm tying my skates. I'm like, can you just get the, you know, can you pound sand? Get out of here. Anyways, I figured they'd probably cut it. No, like 2 weeks later, after I've like licked my wounds and played a little better, got on his good side. There it goes. Airs on HBO. All my buddies calling me. My dad is like losing his mind laughing. And we got a kick out of that. But he didn't even wait. He came right in. I'm surprised he didn't scream right in my ear on the bench. When you got that, it was bad. He'd get right in your ear, yell at you for like 30 seconds. He'd walk away. Come back, he'd yell at you. Sometimes you'd get Sully going. Sully would come, so you're just getting it from both sides. And we, you know what? We won a lot of games. And that guy made me an NHL player, John Tora. I love that guy.
So you're appreciative of that?
I love that guy. Listen, I grew up in a big house or in a large family. It wasn't a big enough house. It was a big house, but it was there was a lot of noise. And if you did the wrong thing, you're getting yelled at. And that's how I knew, okay, well, I won't do that anymore. And I just took to that. It was hard. It was certainly challenging days. The first year was really hard, but he didn't give up on me. He gave it to me quite a bit, but it really made me an NHL player.
If you were a coach, what kind of coach would you be?
I'm coaching now. I got the 8-year-olds.
Yeah. Are you hard on them? Are you driving them? Are you in their ears?
Oh, yeah. I need the Ricolas after practice for my throat. You could probably tell in my voice. We had a practice yesterday. I'll be loud and energetic and make them skate a lot. And I like to really praise them when they're improving and accomplish something, or they do it right. Not really. I'm not going to yell at them for making mistakes. That's for sure. I'll yell at the whole team if everyone's making a mistake, though. Absolutely. We had a green versus black little 3-on-2 game yesterday because they're not passing the puck quite enough. They're starting to feel it a little bit. They want to go end to end.
Oh, yeah.
And the black team was passing it really well, scoring a lot of goals. And the green team had some reps on offense and couldn't get any goals for a while. And I had to stop and gave it to the green team a little bit, not making passes fast enough. So. And then they did, and then they scored. So we all celebrated. It was fun. Parents seem to like it.
Do they look at you as this like 20-year NHL guy, or do they look at you as somebody's dad?
They know I played.
Yeah.
So when I coach my other sons, I'm gonna have to really be a good coach to earn their respect. Right now, I'm riding the coattails of the career still.
This is what makes Upland Blue Seats so much fun. You and Molly are doing a great job. You got Larry on there on that podcast, coming full circle. What was the first episode with Larry like as a media member now?
Me and Larry have kept in touch. So, you know, a little bit here and there. And he's been, you know, I really respect Larry. I don't think his job is very easy. And he has to write interesting things. And well, he's a Hall of Famer, right? So it's like, it speaks for itself, but I really enjoy what he writes. He tried to get me a lot of money when I was a free agent. So I'll never forget that. Even
like
I
talking you up, like building me up.
Yeah. Even I was like, Larry, no one's going to pay me that. Like he's putting it in the post. I mean, I hope they do, but we had fun. We talked about like, so he wrote an article when I got traded there for a third round pick or something. And I had no idea. Like I didn't read the paper. I was just trying to survive. And my agent called and he goes, just stay away from Larry Brooks. You know, don't worry about what he wrote. And I'm like, I don't know anybody. I don't know who writes for the Rangers. I don't know anything. So apparently he wanted them to have an offer sheet and they traded a third round pick. So they couldn't, he writes this whole big article on how, why would they trade for me? I'm going nowhere. And so I kind of was like, oh, that's Larry Brooks. I'm not supposed to like him. And then my first year there, I was terrible. So I think he did start writing, like, why did we trade a third round pick for this guy? And whatever, though, I was terrible. Like, why did you? You should have done that. But then, you know, I had a good career. He was really complimentary of me. And we talked about a number of different things. I kind of liked his ideas with certain things as well. And I was certainly entertained when him and Torts would go at it. It was a lot of fun for us players to listen to on the other side of the wall, them screaming at each other. And so we kind of just hashed that out. We chatted about it a little bit. And, you know, he's still doing it. He's still dialed in to the Rangers. He's got a grandson playing hockey. I've seen some clips on Instagram with him. Good little player. And, you know, it's fun. I like how these full circle moments just remind me that, you know, I got to play in New York and I got to play in this league. And it's a cool thing for me to just reminisce, and especially with him on.
I wasn't going to go down the Torch Brooksy path, but Torch has become a popular part of this episode. You guys would actually like listen in to when John and Larry would exchange?
There was one time on the island at the Nassau Coliseum, and those walls are made of paper anyways. So in the visiting dressing room's not, it wasn't great. And Torts had a problem with something Larry wrote about a player, and Torts went after him. And then you just heard, like, I think that's where we were, unless that was when Torts was yelling at the player Larry went after. Because there was just a lot of yelling for that week.
Torts was yelling at somebody.
Yeah. But there was one where they were just going back and forth. And we're, like, kind of poking our heads out like little kids when mom and dad are fighting. What is going on? But you didn't want to be seen because you didn't want to catch it. Because if Torch sees you, if he sees you when he's, you know, giving it to guys, he'll go after it. It's just, it happened. It happened. It's sports. Hey, it's pro sports. There's a lot on the line. It's a bunch of men in a room getting yelled at and yelling at back. And it was, you know, it was just the way it was.
You're with the NHL Network doing a great job. I love watching you, being around you in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. The big picture with the Tampa Bay Lightning, let's start with Vasi, the big cat being out.
Yeah.
How does that change a player's perspective having to survive 2.5 months without the best goaltender in the world.
It'll heighten your, it'll heighten your awareness of details and defending. And they're built on speed this year, I think, more so than in the past throughout their depth. I think they have, you know, they got Sheary, that Ace Amont's there for, you know, he got traded there last year. They're trying to probably play a little faster, I think, and be more of, you know, a quick strike. They can really scoot. But if you can control the puck and the pace, they can keep it out of their zone, right? You want to make it as easy as you can on your goalie. Details matter playing defense. I think Sergachev, Hedman, Chernak, they got the Perbix kid, I think, is coming along a little bit, but like they have really good defensemen that eat up a lot of minutes.
Do you change it all?
I think you try to really be cognizant of defense and playing the right way early, and then you try to get a lead and you continue that. And if you fall behind, don't blow it open in the second period. Try and chip away, play the right way, because if you do with what I think they're trying to do with the speed and puck possession with that fast lineup that they have again, they're going to create chances that way. They don't want to give up freebies or easy goals or easy chances because they have the ability to score with, they don't need that many chances to do it. And then if they have to open it up late in the game because they're down 2 goals, they can still do that. You can let, you know, Cooch go and Point go. You get, you know, I know Stammer's banged up right now, but
yeah,
you know, Sorelli's a really good player. Hagel looks like, you know, he's really getting better and better. Signed a big ticket, so he's got to be better and better. But you got a little depth. You got some quick guys with some offensive flair. I think, you know, Killorn hurts. He's a different type of player, losing him. But that's, you know, that's the penalty for having success.
Were you surprised Julian stayed with the status quo, Tompkins and Johansson right out of the gate?
Yeah, I don't think they liked what they would have had to adding a player if they had to get rid of another. For what they were going to pick up, I don't think they loved that option. And I think Johansson played fairly well in preseason, did he not?
He was outstanding.
Right, so it's like, so forgive me, I have 6-week-old twins, so some of this stuff, I don't know if it really happened or I dreamt it or what.
Dude.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just throw that in there, mid-Tampa Bay Lightning talk.
Holy cow.
They went with that because that's what he showed him. He earned his spot, right? We'll go to the Twins in a second.
Yeah, because I need to dial in on that because they talk about PTSD as a father and bringing up kids. Wow, that just sent me down a loop. Did you see Kuznetsov coming in on the shootout? Slow.
Yeah, I've seen him do it several times, though. That's not new, is it?
No, but do you like it?
Did it go in?
Yeah.
Yeah, goal. Great.
Is it fair?
What do you mean, is it fair? People are all up. I've seen it on the social media because I have to pay attention to that a little bit more now. And people are all upset about it. He's not going backwards. The puck is advancing. And he's putting the goalie's brain in a pretzel. What's better than that? Who's going to complain besides goalies?
Goalies, yeah. Or the other team. Yeah.
Well, then do it. You're allowed to do it. If goalies complain, like, you know what? Listen, goalies complain too much. And we need goalies. And everyone loves goalies. And they know we need them. But stop complaining. Like, he's a good player, and he's going slow. You're going to put a shot clock on it? Come on. I don't agree. I think guys go in and then slow down. Like, Ryan Johansson does it. He goes in, he slows down and waits and waits and waits. It's a strategy.
Yeah, Marchessault did it last night and scored.
Marchessault was a great one. And he opens his blade up like he's going glove. At the last second, he turns his hand over. You look like Megatron in the net. There's barely any daylight. What else do you want? It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you remember Jason Allison?
Yeah. Play for the Bruins.
So Jason Allison is 1 year with the Maple Leafs, mid-2000s. He got ripped in that city because he was so slow in the shootout. Now, I don't know whether he was trying to go slow or not. That's
wasn't
a bit
particularly
of a difference.
Fast player, and I could say that because I wasn't either.
Yeah, but he got ripped, and now – people are intentionally going so slow. I feel like the world owes Jason Allison an apology from back then.
So the first guy to do it and then he misses is going to get ripped.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why are you going so slow? That's ridiculous. And it looks bad if you miss. And it's like if Kucherov comes down in Buffalo and does that move on Robin Leonard and it doesn't go in, he looks ridiculous. You know, the we played Philly in game 82 in the 2009-10 season, and Olli Jokinen went down to get into the playoffs. The winner went into the playoffs, and we're in a shootout with Philly. And Olli Jokinen went down, did the move he did that worked probably 60% of the time. And I think it was Boucher in that, and he didn't even budge. And it just hits his stick, and it looked like he didn't make a move at all. And then I watched it work, and I'm like, oh, that's a great move. But everyone at the time was like, what's he doing? And our season was over. And we're like, so, I mean, the shootout is the shootout. If you have a problem with it, get rid of the shootout. But that's – he's within the rules. But there is a lot of buzz, people talking about it, which is good for the league, I guess.
Do you you up late at night watching hockey with six-week-old twins?
Yeah, a little. I'm trying to see as much as I can. It's been some fights though. It's been rough.
It's been nasty.
Yeah.
Like the Ranger game the other night. Yeah. There's been a few games like that.
The Ranger, only one guy took his gloves off. I think it was Dersey, who played 29-40 or something in the game. Like, this guy's gonna be exhausted.
Shesterkin was in there with Dumba.
I know. We talked about that yesterday. Like, in Dumba's head. And Truba's skate were very, very close.
Oh, so close.
Yeah. And I was like, the pig piles, just everybody pair off, fight. When you go down, stop. Punch each other if you want.
Yeah.
But the violent hugging was odd. But then, I mean, Jamie Benn's fought at least once, maybe twice, right?
Jamie Benn fought last night. That was going back to last year's playoffs with Mark Stone. I think there was some answering of that. But Vegas doesn't fight a lot. They've had four fights in four games. Toronto and Chicago with Reeves and Perry. There's been all kinds of why? Why do you think everybody's in a nasty mood? I like it.
I know. I don't know. It's I love it. I mean, it's great. The boys are. Boys are getting going early. And, you know, it's good to see early in the year. You're going to have some dog days. You get the road trips, out of conference games. But the Arizona, New York.
Yeah.
There's a melee. It's great. You know, you can see why with Dallas and Vegas. Those are cup contenders, I think. And, you know, we can get into that too. But, I mean, Arizona is probably tired of hearing negative press about Arizona. They're a little bit of a different look. They added some veteran guys. Don't want to be a doormat, and they're playing with some pride, which is I think it's awesome.
What are the twins? Two boys, one and one.
I got one and one. Killian and Isla.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a 1 year old too. And an 8 and a 6 year old. Yeah. There's so many diapers right now. You never believe it. My hands are like bleeding. I wash them so much. It's crazy. We got the 1 year old into school. He's been great. He's a little. He turns 2 on New Year's Day. It's a good hockey birthday, but he's just a weapon.
That's amazing that you just mentioned that because it is part of the hockey culture.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm December, right? But so I never really took much stock into that, but everyone keeps telling me that. So he's my little buddy right now. It's weird for me because with the older two, like, we hang out a lot. And I take, you know, my oldest Declan to hockey all the time, and Bella's going to start figure skating next month. So I'll just be going to the rink all the time. This part, I was there for it, but I was always like, I got to go on a road trip or I got to go.
Yeah.
So I'm in it right now. And when I got home from Pittsburgh, I had a knee injury, and it was like me and my middle child, Cal, we're on the couch every morning, just chilling. And now, like, you can see it kind of like he just follows me everywhere. He's my little buddy. And it's like, It's chaos here, but it's been pretty sweet.
It's been a family conversation. Thanks for doing this. Everything's just like, you're perfectly healthy. Everything's awesome.
Yeah. I go back. I'm off the meds and I go back.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, I feel great. So I anticipate that it's been good, but it's, in worst case, you go back on the meds. There's no real side effects. So it's been, but yeah, I've been very, very fortunate. And you know, the science behind it all has been very, very beneficial to me. So I'm thankful for that. And, you know, so it's one less thing to worry about right now, which is good.
I've not been able to hang out with you like this before, so this has been really, really enjoyable. Thanks for doing this, pal, and good luck with all the podcasts and the NHL Network. That's been fun to watch.
Thanks, Darren. You got an exciting team again. Are they repeating?
Yeah.
It's, you think they're going to repeat? 4-0.
I don't see why they can't be in that mix with everybody back. And the coach going the way he's going, he is a detailed guy and really gets them motivated. And they're the most distracted. You've been through the most distracted part of the year, and they've rolled.
I know. You expect them almost to dip, not just because they won, but like all the crazy pomp and circumstance around it all. And it's been – they've been good.
They've been really good.
Consistent. And who's the kid? What's the kid's name? He had 2 points last night.
Caden Korzak?
Yeah. Yeah. They're 6'3 defenseman. Why not?
They call him like they compare him to Zach Whitecloud, and I'm like, well, that's a pretty good one. Like their depth on the blue lines is outstanding. And the other guys just keep us. Mark Stone is a beast after back-to-back surgeries. And I mean, I'm talking about the team that I cover, obviously, so I'm a little like locked into them. But man, oh man, William Karlsson is just going too.
I mean, their D are redwood trees. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Like you're just going into the forest trying to get through that. You're not.
And they're missing three of their top six right now with Marty being out and stuff. So
be fun to cover some games there in May and June again. That'd be nice.
Come out. We'll hang out. Okay. We'll spend a lot more time together.
Beauty. Sounds good. Appreciate Thanks, you, Darren. Yeah. Thank you.
You know what the neatest part about that conversation? I can use the word neat. Like we're talking, we're wrapping it up. And Boyle just keeps bringing up different things about games, like games that happened late last night. That was a 10:30 Eastern start, the Vegas-Dallas game. And Boyle obviously up watching it and breaking it down and watching what happened with the feistiness. And that's neat. Now, when you've got basically triplets, you're probably spending a lot of time watching hockey in the middle of the night. But there's just a passion there that jumps out at you through the podcast with Brian Boyle. And again, almost 1,000 games, and he's seen it all. And the idea that the Rangers are so close, but it does come down to those kids and being able to make that happen. I disagree with him on the Kuznetsov thing. You can't go in that slow. It's an unfair advantage to the shooter. They can basically stop and do whatever they want. They're going so slow, it's stalled out. And it's not right. It's not the spirit of the play. And I wouldn't be surprised if the goalies on the competition committee challenge it and make it an issue going into next summer. Or the general managers, if you're going to go up against the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Washington Capitals or the Vegas Golden Knights, where they're slowing things down in the shootout so much and it's costing you points or position in the standings, it'll come up. So I think it's wrong. I don't like it. I don't know what the solution is. I'd love to give you one. There's not going to be a speed gun on there. The easiest thing to do, quite honestly, would be to put a chaser in. Start the shootout at the blue line closest to the goalie, and then put a chaser, an opposition player, like you do in minor hockey, at the other blue line, and have him try to back check and catch the player and force the issue. That would be the closest, most easiest way to make the shootout more legitimate, like we see in the course of a breakaway in the regular season game or regular season play outside of a shootout or a penalty shot. It's funny, penalty shots, when they happen, they never seem to have this kind of approach. It's only in the shootout where you really dial it back, at least in my memory. Hey, the Oilers, things good. Things great. Go back and listen to last week's episode with Connor McDavid. He talked about trying to get off to a better start, and they stumbled in game number one. Game two was much better. They should have won that game, and game three was lights out. So there's nothing to worry about with the Edmonton Oilers. Go back and listen to last week's episode with Connor. Just the expectations on his shoulders and where he is from a focus standpoint. You will want to watch the Oilers every night just listening to Connor McDavid's intensity. And Kevin Cheveldayoff was great walking us through the contract negotiations with Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuyck. A lot of fun there. We're off and running, and there's some real bite to the National Hockey League season so far, and we're only a couple of weeks in. Can't wait for things to progress, and we got an outdoor game coming up right around the corner. We'll get into that coming up shortly with the Heritage Classic between the Oilers and the Calgary Flames. Busy times on the trip with Aaron Millar. We'll talk to you next week.